Good evening to anybody that's out there on Facebook Live or watching off somebody's page. Appreciate you joining us. Ask you to stick around. I want to thank the elders and Dave for giving me the opportunity to speak to you tonight. And something I want to say real quick. The NCAA basketball games are being played this past month, and the winner will be chosen tomorrow night. I want to let you know we got a winner right out here. As you know, Patsy just finished her last radiation treatment on Thursday. She has beat cancer 3 times. She is a true three-peat winner. All right, I want you to turn with you in your Bibles, your tablets, your phones, whatever you have. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 8. Now, I want you to hold on to that verse. That's going to be the basis for my message tonight. First, I want to let everybody know what I'm doing tonight. I'm going to share a number of headlines that have been in the news. Some of them you may have heard, some of them you may have not, because what I'm going to talk to you tonight about is shaking the devil out of your life. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 is, "Be of sober spirit, be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." The way this country is going, the way this world is going, this verse does not exist anymore. It's false. The devil does not prowl around looking for you. He is standing on your front porch. He's sitting at your living room. In your living room, he's sitting at your dinner table. He's standing right outside these very doors of this church, waiting on you to stumble. He does not prowl around. He is wide open, does not hide, and we need to shake him loose. And I hope from what I bring you tonight, it'll help you understand where I'm coming from. Now, a few of these headlines have been in the news in the last year or two. Well, probably mostly 2 years ago, because the only two headlines in the news last year was COVID and the elections, and I'm not talking about either one of them tonight. Thank you. Some headlines are from different churches, different beliefs. I'm not going to be tearing down any religion, any belief. I believe that all churches, no matter what, are being under attack these days. The sad part comes that most of these attacks, or a lot of these attacks, are coming from inside those churches. There is no perfect church. There will never be a perfect church until Jesus Christ returns and forms his perfect church. If anyone thinks this church is perfect, I'm sorry to let you know, but there are sinners in this church, and you have one delivering a message tonight. I fight demons every day, as do many of you. The thing that we have, if we need it, God is there to grab us. All we got to do is ask. All right, let's get on these. Governor Cuomo, New York, signed into law late-term abortions, including right up to time of delivery. The New York Senate, as if the governor's signature wasn't bad enough, the New York Senate stood and applauded his signing this bill. Now, Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. Says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, is better for him to have a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea." Okay, maybe that verse doesn't really pertain to abortions, but when I want to lead when I read this about leading little ones into sin, that movie, The Cuties, come into mind. If you haven't seen it, don't even waste your time looking it up. But my question is, how much more would God punish these people that do abortions, or even the ones that allow the abortions to happen? How much more will God punish these before this child ever gets to take his first breath? Jesus told the disciples, "Allow the children to come unto me and do not forbid them." An abortion activist is teaching kids, these are headlines, I didn't make them up, I just copied them. An abortion activist is teaching kids that abortion is a part of God's plan. Now, I heard on the news, this is approximately 2-3 years ago, the top person in Girl Scouts, I don't know if she's a president, CEO, whatever, she was on live TV. And you know, abortions come into play about a couple times a year, about 30 days. They just bill them, you know, pro-life, poor abortion. They're fighting, usually around time of Roe versus Wade. And then they die out for about 6 months, and then pretty soon it's back in the news. Well, when this came out, and they were interviewing this woman and that's in charge of the Girl Scouts, was right about the time all this abortion issue was coming. And they asked her her beliefs. And she told on live TV that she believes in and teaches girls that an abortion is an acceptable form of birth control. I have not given a dime to the Girl Scouts since that very moment. And I know some people that, what about their cookies? You know, the ones I like, I can get at Dollar General, exact same cookie. So I'm good with that. My wife, you can talk to her. When it came to kids, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, Youth Baseball League, if school kids or church kids wanted to have bake sales to help raise money for camps or whatever, we did. We supported them. My biggest thing was trying to find out how many calories are in the cupcakes. But we supported them no matter what. But not since that time. Transgender men do not become women, just feminized men. The report of thousands in Sweden were starting to chip their hands. And I kind of question, you know, are they trying to get a jump on the mark of the devil, the mark of the beast? Revelations 13, verse 17 says, no one will be able to buy or sell except he who has the mark of the beast. And I always kind of question whether or not they were just trying to get a jump on it. There's a woman's college. I did not get the name of the college. Woman's college will accept men who identify as a woman, but will not accept a woman who identifies as a man. Germany ruled it unconstitutional to ban child marriages because it's unfair to refugees. New York does a toy exchange buyback for toy guns. If they're after the toys, what do you think they're going to do with the real ones? Mattel is considering creating same-sex marriage Barbie dolls. United Kingdom schools approve guidelines to teach all kids that boys have monthly cycles too. The Church of England announces a new baptism style, for transgenders to recognize their new gender. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 states, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The PETA people are pushing for everyone to stop using animal language. They're calling it hate language. For example, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. Or like after our last revival, I ate like a pig. Or it's a dog's life. It's hate language now. Giving in to liberal inclusion ideology, the Boy Scouts lost over 3 million members and filed bankruptcy due to sexual abuse. They lifted the ban on open gay adults, permitted transgender boys, allowed girls to join after more than 100 years. They changed their name to gender neutral and lost their faith-based roots. We had a boy that was an Eagle Scout, very proud of it. But if girls want to do what the Boy Scouts do, if you want your Klondike Derbies, you want your winter campouts, go do it. You don't have to do it in the Boy Scouts. And lately, I read an article where there is now, and listen to this, there is a girls-only Boy Scout troop. Ain't that Girl Scouts? But the Boy Scouts have not received a dime from me since all this came to be. One of the Hollywood elite, Christian Bale, a couple years ago, thanked Satan for the awards that he received in the ceremony. There was an article where three pastors got together. I did not catch, this is one of those headlines. A lot of times I'll forward headlines so I can go back and read them. This was one of them I went back. I could not find it after I forwarded it. But the headline, three pastors got together. Don't know what church, like I say. They decided that premarital relations, living together, are outdated theological ideas. November 20th, 2018, Good Morning America applauded an 11-year-old drag queen. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, second half. A man shall not put on women's clothing, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. About years later, there was an article telling that parents were up in arms when at a drag queen show, one of the older drag queens exposed himself to the younger drag queens. Now, the article never said if it was the same boy or a different one. I do not know. To me, I believe when you're this young, well, any age, but when you're this young, you are putting your child through mental child abuse. There's no other way around it. It's mental child abuse. The Pope had announced that God will tempt you. In James 1, verse 13, second half, states, He Himself, God, does not tempt anyone. The Pope calls, lead us not into temptation, as bad advice. February 2019, the Pope announced that the Church has accepted Islam as a viable religion and accepts the Quran as their book of choice in their belief. Now, from what I read in this article, there was like, I don't know if they called it a convention or what, but there were several different religions that got together when the Pope made this announcement. That's all I really know about that. But anyway, the last time I've read anything on the Quran, it dictates repeatedly that its followers must convert you to Islam or kill you if you refuse to convert. In the Quran, Surahs chapter 3, verse 157, dictates that jihad is a main way to heaven. Much of the Quran speaks not about religion, but only about how one must submit. People want to preach coexistence, and I can't imagine how anybody, I mean, I understand everybody trying to live together, wanting to live together, but could you really go for a ride with me if I'm believed in Islam? Could you go for a ride with me if knowing that any moment I decide to kill you is going to guarantee me a route to heaven? You better know where your bases are too, because that's the only way you're going to get there. The Pope recently announced that the Church now accepts gay marriages. Man, man, woman, woman. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, or adulterers, nor homosexuals. Political correctness is running rampant in this country, as we all know. Liberals want Santa Claus to be recognized as gender neutral. Picture in my mind, I see the bearded lady running around in a red dress next year. Around 1945, 75 years ago, Baby It's Cold Outside came out. Now it's been deemed offensive, feeling that it's just because some guy is trying to get some woman to stay with him all night. Around 1964, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer came out, and now it's been deemed a song and movie of glorifying bullying. Now I will admit, just like any of you, you've heard, sang the song and seen the movie, and the reindeer do pick on Rudolph. But I look at Rudolph as being an overachiever. He went from zero to hero because he had done something that no other reindeer could do, not even with the magic of Santa or the magic of Christmas. 1965, Charlie Brown Thanksgiving had a black child in the story. One scene showed the colored boy, his name's Franklin. He was sitting on one side of the table and the rest of the gang's on the other side. A lot of people don't understand, or don't maybe not know, Charles Schulz wrote the Peanuts line through situations that had happened to him growing up. It was a lot of stories were based on things that he did as childhood. Charles Schulz did not do any of the animation. He wrote the comic strips. He had two people that do the animation for him. He wrote the story, gave it to them. The animators are the ones that put Franklin on one side of the table, the rest of the Peanuts gang on the other side, and now they declare Charlie Brown as being a racist. And the latest thing that's happened, little Woodstock, that little yellow canary, It showed one scene with Woodstock and Snoopy at the table eating turkey for Thanksgiving. Now they're calling Woodstock out for being a cannibal because he's eating one of his own. And around the 1950s, Frosty the Snowman came out. Now it was being called out due to Frosty playing an imaginary preacher trying to pretend to marry a young boy and girl so they can go play house. I can't imagine how bad that's going to be when they realize he smokes a pipe and don't wear pants, too. But, you know, that's yet to come. A few months ago, the Methodist Church was talking about having a split. This was going to be a major split, not just one church. Now, I don't know if this was a reason or one of many reasons. The Methodist minister that was on the news not long ago was being interviewed by a reporter, and of course, they're browbeating him on a statement he made. Now, the Methodist Church has different layers of their organization. How far up this minister was, I don't know. But anyway, he's the one on TV and made the comment, "No homosexual minister will ever be the head of any Methodist church." In Leviticus 18, verse 22, "You shall not sleep with a male as one sleeps with a female. It is an abomination." The minister was standing his ground against this reporter. And I told Patsy, I really got to commend this man for standing up for what he's standing up for. I said, he's standing firm on the Word of God. Now, as I was driving that night, I got to thinking about this, and something just didn't set right. Now, I was born and raised through the Methodist Church. So a lot of the things they do and the way they are things, I understand. When I got home, I was telling Patsy about this, and I says, you know, I told her on one hand, I said, I really commend this minister for standing his ground. And she knows when this hand goes up, this one's going up too. But I says, on the other hand, I said, I'm not quite as sure. You see, the Methodist Church has ordained women ministers. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 states, "But I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet." Now, I have no problem with women being ordained ministers, as long as they teach women and they teach the children, because this is the order of authority that's given by God. But why would they say no on this hand and yes on this hand? You know, it's one of those things that you just don't. Pastor Justin Hoke, now this one was on Facebook a couple of different times, a lot of you may have seen it. Pastor Justin Hoke of Trinity Bible Presbyterian Church in Weed, California, I just love that, Weed, California, was asked to leave the church by some of the members, or they would leave, or the members of the church would leave if he stayed. Pastor Hoke had posted on a sign in front of the church, "Bruce Jenner is still a man. Homosexuality is still a sin. Culture may change. The Bible does not." And it tells that it was a small church. And I look at a small church, about like ours, anywhere from 150, 175 people or less. It's a small church. But it says he was a pastor of a small church. And it tells that they were being protested either by the ACLU or the LGBTQ, the alphabet people, with less than 24 people. Now, in today's news, it could have been only 5 people showing up. It's still less than 24. You got to understand, culture is demanding that we call good what the Bible calls evil. But what I have read about this, the pastor took his family and left instead of changing the sign. Now, I believe a few things that maybe not have come out in the article. Okay, I believe the pastor took his family and left the church to keep it from having a split. My wife and I, we've been through a church that has split. Usually the small group that leaves, they just go to another church. And the bulk of the trouble and trying to keep a church going is left upon who's left. And I do believe that the ones that went to the pastor were probably some more of the bigger ones that did more of the financial support. Because if it had been ones that don't support the church financially, he may have just let them leave. But again, I commend this pastor for trying to keep the church together. But on the other hand, this pastor failed his church by not standing firm on the Word of God. Now, people, we have no choice but to shake the devil out of our lives. He's working overtime. We need to stop accepting what is happening as being this stuff called the new normal. We've got to get the devil out. We have to shake the devil out of our lives. We have to change our mindset. You have the power to do so. All it takes is three simple words. Satan, get out. A few years ago, I started to realize when I really made a turn, a change in my life, I started to realize the power that I have over Satan because I know who's got my back. And I began to understand what I had. If you believe that you have the belief to get it done, you do. If you believe you have the strength to get it done, you do. If you believe you have the faith to get it done, you do. I look at belief and strength as faith as being all equal, a three in one. You have God, you have Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and a heavenly multitude of angels behind you. And I've read someplace that if God be for us, who can be against us? Maybe you've heard it too. If not, you just did. Maybe you have the strength and the belief, but you're not too sure about the faith. You can feel you can stand up and tell Satan to get out of your life, but there's that lack of faith right there that you don't know. And it's like, how much faith do I need? Well, how about the size of a mustard seed? One day when Jesus and the disciples were walking along the road, Jesus became hungry. Jesus went to the fig tree. There was no fruit. Matthew 21, verse 19, second half, states, no longer shall there be any fruit from you. And at once the fig tree withered. Disciples are seeing this and they're looking at Jesus. How'd you do this? How'd this happen? You know, you just talked and this tree died. And Jesus told them, he said, if you have the belief and faith and do not doubt, you can tell this mountain to be cast into the sea and it shall be done. I want to ask you, what kind of mountains do you have in your life? Filthy language, hatred, drugs, alcohol, illicit thoughts, idolatry, adultery, steal, covetousness? What's holding you back from the kingdom of God? One day when I was driving, Satan tried to put illicit thoughts in my head. And I needed to get them out. See, once you start believing in God and really trusting God, you become a number one enemy of Satan. That's the only way out of it. You are his number one enemy. But I got these illicit thoughts, and I needed to get out, trusting in what I knew. I ordered Satan, get out. And just like that, they were gone. Only thing is, about 5 miles down the road, they were back. So once again, I ordered Satan to get out. Soon the thoughts were back, more intense, more detailed than ever before. I knew I needed help, more than I could do. Maybe I had just a little bit of lack of that faith. But I asked God to get rid of these thoughts and give me something else to think about. And instantly, they were gone and forgotten. I have absolutely no recollection of what I was thinking about or what God gave me to think about to take the place. I believe the devil enters you through your mind. The one thing that God gave you control over are your thoughts and your free will. You ask God in your life, he's going to come into your heart. God's not going to go into your mind and give you 2 or 3 days to think about, see whether or not you really want him in your life. Now, we see signs almost everywhere we look. Jesus is coming soon. Maybe he is. We do not know. No one knows. Not even Jesus Christ knows when the Father's going to tell him, go get your bride. It'll be then when the trumpet sounds and Christ makes his return to get his children. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, this is the true and faithful Christian believers, who remain will get caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Now, if you think these headlines and what's happening right now doesn't involve you, you're badly mistaken. If you've never heard some of these headlines before, you heard them tonight, and they're all right up here in your head. Somebody may say, I don't worry about abortions in New York because I don't live there, my kids don't live there, I don't even know a single person that lives in New York. So basically what you're trying to say is Indiana and Ohio don't have abortion clinics. Fort Wayne don't have an abortion clinic. Well, I don't worry about what kids are being taught about new gender roles in public schools because my kids go to a church school, a Christian school, parochial school. So I got a question. What about TV shows you watch or your kids watch? alternate lifestyles and anything goes are now commonplace on so many shows. Do you even notice them anymore? Do you even see it when they happen? The soap operas, Big Brother, Married at First Sight, Naked and Afraid, Temptation Island, etc. The Bachelor, Bachelorette. Now, I will have to say, you know, the show Bachelor, I've never watched any of these shows. The idea of being a bachelor and having 20 beautiful women trying to win you over, now that, you know, back in the day, that's like, what are you laughing at, Derek? Back in the day, that was something to think about. Or what about the Bachelorette? Having 20 hunky guys out here trying to woo you over, girls. I got news for you. I used to be a hunk. Look at your future. But Satan enters you through your mind. You ever thought about putting yourself in the place of one of these people? Are we going to get caught off guard to the point that we miss the trumpet call? Will you or I make it through the tribulation? Are we in the tribulation right now? I believe that everything is going on as part of the tribulation. Will it get worse? Oh yeah, it's going to get a lot worse. And I believe there's going to be no doubt that it's happening when it gets into full-blown problems. Will we let America be destroyed before we see what's happening? Will we have time to save ourselves and our country? But it will not come by itself. We must shake the devil. Many of us will make it through the tribulation, and some whom we thought would make it will not. Now, Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 and verse 14, second half. Now, this is John writing down what he's seeing in heaven. God's telling him what to write, what not to write. John is sitting with the elders, and he sees, and he says, after these things that they talked, he says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation and all the tribes, people, languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And this is when one of the elders, you know, he kind of leans over, hey, John, you know who these people are? And John's telling him, no. He said, tell me. And the elder tells him, he said, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So people are going to make it through the tribulation. Are you going to be one of them? Am I? When you come up out of the watery grave of baptism, you'll feel like you can take on anything. You feel like you cannot be defeated. You may even feel infallible. But you must understand that no matter how much belief you have and how much strength you have or how much faith you have, you may feel you can withstand anything. But I'm going to tell you right now, never, ever challenge Satan or God. You're going to feel like you can handle anything and feel like, all right, Satan, hit me with what you got. You get that impression in your mind, I want you to go back and read the book of Job and see whether or not you carry the faith level that Job had. And if you think you can tell God, even though you got God on your side, you think you can tell God, God, I can handle it. Don't worry, I can handle it. If you get that idea, I want you to go back and read the book of Job, because God turned Job over to Satan. Now, I wrote a poem about 10 years ago called Keep the Faith. A lot of my posts on social media will have KTF as a reminder at the end of it to do just that. Keep the faith. Remain strong in the Lord and always believe that God is supreme. The last verse of that poem is what I want to share with you. And I want you to think about this. I want you to vision this. And it goes, and now my days are done. The battle has been fought. The war has been won. As I prepare to step on heaven's sod, a voice cries out, you kept the faith. Reach up. Take hold of the hand of God. You know, people, we just can't even imagine what it would be like just to touch the finger of God, yet alone having him telling us, grab hold, and telling us, well done, my good and faithful servant. You kept the faith. Welcome home. But what if you see the time comes and you see the hand of God reaching down toward you, and he stops and tells you, you were this close. You were this close. Depart from me, for I do not know you. People, we must shake the devil. You see, the devil doesn't care if you go to hell. He just doesn't want you going to heaven. The only bad part is that's the only two choices you're going to have. Now, I've talked to people that have told me they don't believe they're going to go to heaven. They may think that their friends will be in hell too, which we all know there will be no friendships in hell. But we will all be surprised who makes it and who does not. They may even tell you that they don't have the strength to shake the devil out of their lives. You don't know if you have enough strength to shake him? Let me tell you how much strength you need to shake the devil out. You have God on your side. You have Jesus on your side. You have the Holy Spirit on your side, and you have the multitude of angels on your side. I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 20, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now this is, you know, John's writing the book of Revelation, and, you know, God's telling him what to write, what not to write. He's got the angel with him. He's taking him around to different places that God directs him to go to. And he's sitting here and he sees, and John writes, he says, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key to the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he took hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the abyss, shut it, and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. People, don't tell me, don't tell yourself that you don't have the strength to shake the devil out of your mind. I've told you twice, God is behind you. Jesus is behind you. The Holy Spirit is behind you, and a multitude of heaven's angels are behind you. You see, God did not cast the devil into the pit. Jesus did not cast the devil into the pit. The Holy Spirit did not cast the devil into the pit. Nor did the multitude of heavenly angels come down and wrestle him down and bind him up and throw him into the pit. It took one single angel, one angel, to cast Satan into the pit. And you don't believe you can get Satan out of your head. People, you've got to shake the devil out of your lives. And it must start today. And it starts with you and me. You have the power to shake the devil. Believe you can. Stay strong and show your strength that you can. And always keep the faith. There's a plan of salvation. They're going to come up here in a minute. A plan of salvation we go through after every message. That you must believe in Jesus Christ. And belief comes from the hearing the word. You must repent of all your sins. Everything. Even the ones way back that you may have forgot. Just ask God to give you a clean slate. Get you started fresh. You must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. You must be immersed into holy baptism, into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, into Jesus Christ, to rise and walk in the newness of life. And you must remain faithful for the rest of your life. Now, God knew it would be hard to remain faithful. So he has it set in his plan to be able to return to him. If anyone here has been baptized and you feel you slipped away and you need someone to talk to, or somebody that you just got questions, somebody you want somebody to pray for you, pray with you, join us up front. Now's the time. Don't wait till you hear the music, the trumpet. Anyone watching online, if you want or need to talk to one of us, you either got the church website, your church phone number, if you're on somebody's page, get with them if you have questions. If they can't answer it, we'll make sure you get connected with the ones that can. Keep the faith. Get into it. Will you stand with us, please?